Well, good morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Ryan Lenners, and I'm a team pastor here at Ashworth Road. And today I will be finishing our Christmas series, A Christmas Story, with this very familiar movie clip from Home Alone 2. And the reason it might have felt a bit like deja vu is because it was just a few weeks ago that Brent introduced his sermon on loneliness using clips from Home Alone. And in this sequel, apparently the McAllisters still haven't figured out a solution to their alarm clock issues. So they have the exact same situation where they are rushing late to the airport, completely frazzled. And as a result, they again leave poor Kevin behind. And while both these movies are funny classics, the sequel suffers from some of the usual problems that all sequels do. In that it feels almost too familiar. The gags, the jokes, they almost lack some originality. You have the wet bandits, again, being silly, and the poor kid doing the same type of stunts to try to thwart them. You have the crazy bird lady in New York City, who's just like the crazy guy that Kevin was afraid of from his neighborhood. They use all these similarities, these patterns. It's almost like it's just a rehashing of all the things that made the previous year's hit movie a hit movie. And while our lives may not be hit movies, to some extent we can relate to the feeling that our lives are a sequel to our life the year before. That our lives are this rehashing of the same exact struggles, the same conflicts, the same unsuccessful resolutions that we set the year before and the year before that and the year before that. And the result is the same dissatisfaction and frustrations that we've had in previous years. And I understand from year to year, the adventures and the journey that life takes may be very, very different. We have different ups and downs and different things that hit us that we didn't expect. But at the same time, when you look at life, a lot of the things seem very monotonous and repetitive. How your marriage is going might be the same year after year, and you all say, I want to work on it, I want to improve it, I want it to get better. And you go through different adventures with your spouse, but your marriage never gets any better. You want your job to improve or to change or to move up, and while your job may have different projects that come and go, your satisfaction level with your job, it never changes. Maybe your relational issues with your family, your friends, some person that you have to deal with regularly, that you have relational conflict. Things change and go up and down, but at the end of the day, at the end of the year, your satisfaction with your relationships, with your friendships, are the same as they were the year before and the year before that. And in the same way, perhaps your relationship with Jesus is the same from year to year to year. You go through different valleys, you have different highs, you may have that mission trip here, that service opportunity there, that's different from the years before. But overall, your relationship with Jesus, your level of pursuit, your feeling of closeness with Jesus is the same this year as the year before and the year before. It's like you're stuck in that rut. You're in this sequel, this video, this movie that's playing over and over and over. And that's why today I want to talk about how to break out of the sequel of your life, to have a new year with new results, and to have a better year with better results. By now, you've probably heard this popular definition a million different times. I heard it the first time. I thought it was really clever. Now we've all heard it a ton. But the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And while we all nod our heads in agreement and we say, yes, we know that's true, the truth is that we live our lives with these ruts and these habits that show that while we understand it here, we don't really get it here. We know we have to change things if we want different results, but then we hope that things go better without actually making any changes in our lives. And so according to this definition of insanity, if we want the results of 2017 to be different than the results of years in the past, we have to make some changes, some real lasting changes. We have to break free from the ruts and find new paths, new rhythms, and new ways of living. And the biggest change that we can make, which I believe affects absolutely every aspect of our lives, is to abide with Jesus in 2017. And today I want to explain why I say that and why that makes a difference. So if you'd like to open your Bibles to John chapter 15, that's going to be the text that we're in today. It's on page 876 in the Brown Pew Bibles in front of you. We'll also have the text on the screens. And today I want to look at Jesus' final words to his disciples the night before his betrayal and his arrest and the day before he's crucified on the cross. We can assume if this is Jesus' final teachings to his disciples, he knows that he doesn't have much time left with them. He's not making small talk. He's giving them some of the most important lessons that he wants them to hold on to. He's trying to instill in them one final time, these are the most critical things that I want you to know. And that's these verses, these chapters 15 through 17. They're incredible parts of the Bible. If you've never read them, I encourage you, read those this week. They're just full of this incredible teaching from Jesus. But beginning in John chapter 15 and verse 1, we read Jesus saying to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now notice here, Jesus begins his teaching with an illustration of the Christian life. He says, he's a vine that grows. It would have been really common for them to have grapevines. And God is the gardener. A little later, he does specifically say, we as people, each one of us, is a branch that's supposed to be connected to that vine who's the source of our life then. But the very first point that he makes as he gets into this illustration isn't about us, it isn't about him. It's actually about God and God's role as the gardener. The gardener who prunes and cuts off the branches. Notice here that it's God who's cutting off dead branches and he's pruning the living branches. And it's God who's the one who selects what branches in your life or what parts of your branch that need to be pruned, need to be cut back. Essentially, it's God the Father who's deciding what part of you needs to be removed to allow you to grow and become more fruitful in your Christian life. And then we continue reading in verse 3. It says, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And here Jesus gives his followers their first command, the imperative. He says, remain in me. He tells them to stop trying to do things on their own, to stop looking for strength and abiding, or strength from outside in the world, or looking for strength from inside themselves, their own willpower, their own desire. But he says, as the King James Version says, many of us might be more familiar, abide. Just stay with me. Just live with me. Just be with me. When I think of the illustration of the branch and the vine, it's not that the branch is actually working hard to stay with the vine. It just is. It simply is connected. There's no effort. There's no work. There's just this sitting and being. And so what Jesus is basically telling them is he's saying, if you want to bear fruit now, that can only come from me, from staying connected to me, the true vine. You can't do anything on your own. You can't will yourself to accomplish something for me by going out and blazing your own trails. The only way you can do anything for me is to stay with me. All that those things that you try to do on your own, they really amount to absolutely nothing when compared to what you can do when you stay connected to me. And one major implication that we can draw from these verses then is that Jesus expects his followers to be bearing fruit and growing. He's saying, if you stay connected to me, the natural thing, a vine doesn't just cease to grow, it continues to grow. That the vine is providing the nutrients, the branches are going to grow. If you remain in me, you should be growing. And that's where this passage comes back to this idea of living life as a sequel year after year after year. Each of us has to evaluate, are we growing and bearing more and more fruit? Or are we stuck? We're still connected to the vine maybe, but our branch isn't growing. We're not changing. How we handle stress, how we handle conflict isn't improving. It's not becoming more like Jesus. We're in a rut. There's no growth. There's no additional fruit. We're experiencing this boring sequel of failures and struggles that we've always experienced in the past. And we have to look and we have to honestly ask ourselves, are we growing or are we stuck? Because a branch who is attached to the vine will not stay the same way that it always has been. It will grow. Are you growing? And it's important for each of us to identify when we get into that rut, when we stop growing, when we stop bearing any new fruit, when we aren't experiencing any greater joy or peace or patience or gentleness or any more self-control in our lives, we have to understand we have a problem. That's the big signal. That's the big light that should be flashing to us that says something's not right in your life. And what Jesus says is, and you can't fix it on your own. There's nothing you can do apart from me to fix that problem. The only thing you can do to fix it is to connect with me and to be with me. This isn't something that Jesus wants us to feel guilty about and be like, man, I suck at life. This is awful. But this is something where Jesus says, no, I want you to grow because that's better for you. I want you to connect in with me and to live a life differently and to grow because bearing fruit, having peace and joy and patience, that's good for you and it's good for the world. As you're my ambassador to the world, showing this fruit to the world of what it means to be connected to me, to the vine. So Jesus really does want us to bust out of that sequel of disappointment and to experience the growth and the incredible adventure that he has in store for us. And I think we all want change and transformation in at least one area of our lives. It's normal. As we turn the page, it's January 1st. For most of us, we should be thinking about these things. I already had that conversation with my wife. I've mentioned from the pulpit before, every year we sit down for coffee. This year, she didn't realize that it's why I asked her out on a coffee date. She thought I just wanted to take her on a date until I brought a bunch of pens and last year's goals. And she's like, uh-oh. But this is what we do. We look back at where we were last year, where we want to go this year. It's a natural thing. If you don't do that, I encourage you to do it. But our transformation first has to begin with us understanding this process of pruning and abiding. And first we have to look at how we have to let God prune us. And here's the application from that first part where I said, God's the gardener. He cuts off the branches. He does the pruning. So often, we, though, kick off the new year, and I'm just as guilty of this even this year, but now I read this passage and I realize why it doesn't work. We kick off the new year with a list of resolutions, all the things that we want to change about ourselves, the things we want to improve about ourselves. And more often than not, we understand resolutions tend to not work. We tend not to stick with these. And as I was thinking about this passage, I think I now understand why we fail at it so much. It's because we're trying to select which part of our branch that we need to cut off to help ourselves to grow. It's like the child who's tired of the bangs in their face. And they're like, I got to do something about this. I'm going to take care of it myself. I'll just give myself a haircut. And we know how that turns out. It never turns out well. We just look silly. We look stupid. People go, oh, you tried to give yourself a haircut. How cute. But we all know it's not really cute. It looks awful. And parents, mothers are like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? But that's what we do with our lives. We say, you know what? I need to lose 10 more pounds. So that I can be a slender, better-looking jerk who still has no patience with other people. And God might be saying, actually, I would rather you had more patience with your family. I would rather you had more self-control. I would rather that you worked on your self-esteem and understanding you're my child than that in order to be loved, you have to look better to the world. So when we prune ourselves, we make these resolutions. Often we're pruning the wrong branches. And this year, my encouragement is to you, your resolution, yes, I think we should be trying to strive. How can we be more like Jesus? But rather than us deciding what we need for ourselves and giving ourselves the bad haircut, we need to make time to say, God, show me what branches you want to prune in my life. You tell me what my resolutions need to be. You help me focus on what I really need to focus on this year so that I'm not focusing on the wrong things. The text is also really clear about our need to abide or to remain in Jesus. But I'm sure that at least a few of you are wondering, well, what does it actually mean to abide? I mean, even I read that word and I'm like, yeah, we're supposed to abide in Jesus. I love John chapter 15. I've read it a million times. Abide in Jesus. But the fact is, what does that actually mean? How do we abide in Jesus? And what's really ironic is the first thing that jumped into my mind was all the things we can do to abide in Jesus. And I was going to give you guys this list. I was going to say, if you want to abide in Jesus, you need to spend more time reading the Bible. You need to spend time praying to Jesus. You know, that praying without ceasing, you need to do that. You need to get connected to the community of followers of Jesus more, which is the church. If you're not connected, you need to do that. But the irony in how my mind immediately jumped to the doing is, this text tells us to just be, and my first instinct was to tell you what to do. Okay, the branch doesn't do anything to abide. The branch just is. And in our American mindset, this is really hard for us because culturally, we want to do something to be with Jesus. For me, if I want to have devotional, it's like I have to put it on my to-do list so that I have something, yep, check, I prayed today. And then I feel better about myself because I made the abiding a task that had to be completed so that I could say I did something. And so that's where this abiding, it's almost like it's anti-American to just be and rest and just sit with Jesus. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to get in the 10 minutes of prayer. You don't have to read your Bible every day to still be abiding with Jesus. Now, granted, if you're not doing any of those things and you're never thinking about Jesus, you can't just say, well, I'm abiding. Okay, there's some action that has to be going on here. But we can't turn the being with Jesus into the task. And that's hard for me. That's hard for you. I know that. And quite honestly, for many of us, thinking about spending time with Jesus in this relaxed, easy relationship, we know it doesn't really happen and we really, really struggle with it because we are simply too busy. We are just too busy, and that's our problem with abiding. And so that's why how we try to do it, even in our busyness, is to make it the to-do list item. But I want to take you to a verse in Mark chapter 4, verse 7, where Jesus is teaching another parable. And in this parable, he's teaching about the dangers of busyness, and he uses this illustration of a farmer who's spreading out seed. And he says the seed spreads on four different types of soil. And I want to bring us to just one verse that points to one type of soil that he's teaching about. And how the different soils, though, some of the soil, the seeds grow more successfully, some of them they fail to grow. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 7, we see other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Recently, I've been reading about managing a wooded lot because I now have some far-fetched dream that I want to own some acres of timber. I want to be a tree farmer. I think that'd be really cool to be able to get away and just be in the woods. And so I've been looking at, okay, how do you manage woods? How do you make sure that your trees are growing and are healthy? I'm a nerd. Sometimes I get into things I want to read. But I was reading about these trees, and they were saying, the way that you can identify how a tree's growth has went is when you look at its age rings. Okay, so when you actually cut a tree, we understand it's got the rings, and some years are thicker and some are thinner. And in a tree like this, you can see it was growing really fast at first. Each one of the little blonde lines is kind of the edge of a year's growth. And at the end, it's almost all blonde lines and none of the rings of dark wood at all. And what you see there is where that tree got outpaced by the other trees above it, and the shade of the taller trees above it blocked all the sunlight to the tree. And so it essentially stopped growing anymore. It was still alive. It didn't die because it didn't get sun, but its ability to grow any further has been choked out by the taller trees, by all the trees around it. And that's the image that Jesus is giving to us. It's not that when we're busy that we shrivel up and we die. And one of the soils in this parable, it says that it fell on rocky ground and it grew up really fast. It had no root though, and it completely died. And it's talking about a person who thinks they're kind of becoming a Christian, but there's nothing there to their faith. In this story, this seed though that falls among the thorns, it grows up. But then the busyness of life, all the thorns, all the priorities, all the activities choke it out. They starve it of any time to be able to grow any further. And so as a result, your spiritual life, you do grow up, you become a Christian, you become a follower of Jesus. But then you hit that rut where every year your age ring doesn't get any bigger. You're living the same spiritual life that you lived a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, simply because you've been choked out by all the activities in your life. And as a result, now, you may just be showing no new growth as a Christian. And as I've already shown you, that's a problem. Because Jesus expects that those of us who are abiding in him are bearing fruit and are growing. And so the question I want each of us to consider here today after we leave is, have you stopped bearing fruit? Have you stopped growing? Have you allowed your life to just basically run on autopilot and play the same movie over and over and over again? You're comfortable. I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. I go to church. I pray. I read the Bible. I serve. But I just keep doing those things. You know, maybe you grew here. Some of us grew there. Some of us have grown there. But it doesn't matter how much we've grown as a Christian. Every one of us can run this temptation of hitting that point where life chokes us out and we just stopped growing. And we say, well, yeah, I did great until 2012, but I've been there ever since. And that's what we have to identify. And I began today by telling you that abiding with Jesus would affect every single aspect of your life. And here's how I believe that that happens. Here's why I think I can say, by abiding in Jesus, no matter what areas of your life that you want to see growth and improvement in, they will all get better. And it's this. It's because this is how it works. Essentially, every area of our lives that you might be dissatisfied with is due to a lack of joy in your life, or a lack of peace, or a lack of patience, or a lack of self-control. For instance, you might want that better marriage, but if you're going to get that better marriage, you're going to have to grow in patience with your spouse. You can't just look at them and say, you need to change this and this and this because you're driving me crazy. Yeah, they might have some things to change, but you need to show a lot more grace and patience with the parts of your spouse that make them who they are. Or you might want financial freedom. But the problem isn't that you have a bad budget and you need to just spend less, make more, figure it out. The problem is you lack contentment with what you already have. You lack finding joy in the life God's already given you. Or you lack self-control to say no to your impulses. Well, guess what? That joy, that self-control, that patience that you need, those are the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, when Jesus tells us that we're going to bear fruit, he's referring to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we can only obtain this fruit that's required for us to grow in any area of our life at all, if we abide in Jesus. That's what John 15 told us. You want to improve your life? You're going to need to grow in fruit. You want to grow in fruit, it only happens by abiding in me. That's why the root of improving any aspect of your life in 2017 is to first say, Jesus, I need to figure out how on earth I'm going to abide. And so I want today for you to choose, okay? You can't just say, I hope. You have to choose intentionally to break out of the sequel of your life. Let God this year select what needs to be pruned from your life so that you can grow more fruit. And then make space and declutter your life so that you have the time to abide. That's probably going to be the hardest thing for every one of us to do, to figure out what's got to go so that we have the time to abide in Jesus. So that we're not just crossing Bible reading and prayer off of our massive to-do list, but we're just figuring out a way where we say, I'm just being with my Savior. It's when we start doing that, that He will change us. By the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us, that fruit will begin to grow. And as the fruit grows, how we handle conflict in relationships will change. And we will be better with the conflict, and we'll see new outcomes to the conflict in our marriage, or the conflict with our friends, or the conflict at work. We'll grow in self-control, and those habits and those hang-ups that are always getting us in trouble, those temptations that we can never say no to, we'll have more strength to say no to because we've grown in self-control by spending time with Jesus. The key to transforming our lives in 2017 is to learn how to abide in Jesus. And when we abide, we will see growth. And when we experience that growth, we will have an incredible year in Christ and an incredible year of bearing fruit that ultimately brings glory to God with how we live and how the world sees us as followers of Jesus Christ.